Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is brought to you by the Era Media Group, publishers of ShowSite Magazine. Together, we are strong supporters of the American Kennel Club and the preservation of our purebred dogs. Okay, crew, before we get into today's show, I am super excited to tell you about something new here at Pure Dog Talk. We know breeders are the lifeblood of our sport. We celebrate and honor our master breeders. So we're bringing you Breeders' Voice. Breeders' Voice sits down with top breeders, sharing their secrets, how they got where they are, the joys, and maybe even the heartbreaks. If you haven't had a chance, click the Don't Miss an Episode button so you'll get these in-depth articles delivered free along with your podcast. Sign up on our Facebook page or at puredogtalk.com. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Pure Dog Talk here at the AKC National Championship, brought to you by Royal Canin. Pure Dog Talk brought to you by the Era Media Group. And we have a fabulous opportunity that I'm very excited about to visit with Megan Levy. And Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and you were just telling me this is your first dog show.
This is my very first dog show, and it's been so amazing so far.
Awesome.
I'm having the best time ever.
That is fabulous. Now, the great thing is, I don't know how many of our listeners have heard about the movie.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about Megan Levy,
sure.
The movie, which is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
And the story about Rex and your relationship with him, and it was very moving. For me.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what brought that on.
Well, I was in the Marine Corps mm-hmm. for 4 years. I was a military working dog handler.
And I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. why did you go to canine? Like, you could choose anything to do in the Marines. Why do I want to work with dogs?
Well, I grew up always having dogs. I was a very big animal person right. throughout my whole life. Right. Funny thing is, though, I had no idea that there was even a canine program until I was in military police school. I signed up to be a military police officer in the Marine right. Corps. I had no idea there was even a canine program until they had a canine Marine come into our classroom and explain the program. As you can imagine,
right.
everybody
Nailed
wanted
it.
To be canine.
right.
So I had to finish in the top of my class. I had to go up on a board, and I actually had to be selected to go to canine school. I really had to work hard and like set mm-hmm. my mind on this mm-hmm. is what I really want to do. And it worked out amazing because it was the best job ever.
So you're in the Marine Corps, and I'm just still boggled by the fact that this movie came together.
So am I. But Rex and I did two deployments. Mm-hmm. I was in Fallujah with him in 2005, mm-hmm. and then I was in Ramadi with him in 2006. Our second deployment, we were injured by an IED explosion. Super lucky. I mean, minor injuries. When I came back from my second deployment, I had a year left on my contract for the Marine Corps. So I spent most of that year doing physical therapy with me and Rex. He was hurt
as
well.
You guys got to do that together?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Well, Rex was the kind of dog that no one else really could do physical therapy with him. He was very a one-person mm-hmm. kind of dog. Mm-hmm. So when I had to touch his legs or do stretching exercises with him, if somebody else went in to do that, it would have not been a pretty
sight. Would not have ended well.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what was hard was these working dogs that we have in the military, you know, they're super trained, they cost a lot of money, and they're a great asset for the military.
Absolutely.
So they can't just be giving them away left and right. They have a job. So that's totally understandable. Rex was a dual-purpose dog, meaning he was an explosive detection dog, and he was also an attack dog,
right.
so he did the bite work
protection.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In his medical records, he was super aggressive at the vet, and in it, it says unadoptable in bold capital letters.
Like he's just not going
right.
to fit in.
So there's a very necessary process if military working dogs have to be adopted out. But when I got out, Rex, he was also still able to work. He was non-deployable anymore, but he was still able to be a working dog on base, stateside.
Okay, he stayed at home.
Yes, he went through 12 different handlers after me.
Oh my gosh.
Because our main mission at the time was deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. Right. So everybody had their main dog that they were preparing to deploy with, and he would just kind of pass through different handlers doing work.
Mm-hmm. Did the dog do okay with that, do you think?
I always kept in touch with my friends from there, and they would send me pictures and stuff, and they weren't his biggest fans. I don't know how much I can say on the show, but, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Oh, no, we totally get it.
So nobody really bonded with him like I did, so I always kept in touch. And hoping every day that maybe they'll change his classification, because when you are going to get adopted out, you have to go through a whole process and do all these demonstrations. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe when he gets older, he can be reevaluated. But, you know, at the same time, he's seven. I don't know how long these dogs are going to live for.
They could have passed away any day.
So I spent 4 years calling my friends, waiting, all that. And one day I got a phone call from one of the Marines at my canine section, who always never wants me to say who. But he said Rex had had a seizure. He was having neurological problems. He's 11 at this time, mind you.
Right.
And he's not going to be able to work anymore. You know what it says in his medical records. I know you know. So it's not my decision, but I would call your senator, call your congressman. If you're going to try to adopt him, I would do something fast, because any day now he could be put to sleep because he's also sick. So I went to great man Jerry Donnell, and he was my local veterans advocate in my town.
Nice.
He happened to know a woman, Caroline Wexelbaum, who worked in Senator Schumer's office. We put a whole packet together and then presented it to the senator.
Nice.
And then he put it out in the press, and that's how everybody learned about my story.
And that's amazing. And then that story became a movie because it was so compelling.
People reached out and they were like, this is just such a great human interest story. And when it was finalized that I was adopting Rex and I actually got him, I wasn't really interested in doing a movie. I just wanted to spend time with him. I'd spent so many years waiting for him. Mentally had a lot of issues I was dealing with. And I think getting him back really helped me close a lot of wounds and work on myself and just be at peace with some of the things that I was having a hard time with. So I was really grateful for that.
Yeah, dogs are great for that, aren't they?
They are. They are. And I just felt such guilt leaving him behind when I did have to leave. You can't explain to a dog, like, hey, these are the rules. I will be back for you.
That,
I try. Right. Yeah, and that really, really stuck with me. And it haunted me every day that he was not, like, where is she? Is she ever coming back? You know, it's hard.
And he got to live out his last days with you.
He did. I mean, from the moment I brought him home, he jumped right on the couch. At the time, I was still in the canine field. I had another bomb dog named Patriot, who's a chocolate lab, who I still have now. She's retired as well. And they got along great. Perfect. I had two cats. He learned his lesson quick. Once he got a swat in the nose that, okay, we'll coexist together, but I'll let you guys be.
Peace out, man.
Yeah. But he adapted so well to civilian life. He'd never smelled food being cooked in a kitchen before, so that was a big deal for him. He got to swim in a pool, see snow.
Not much of that in Fallujah.
No. And we were stationed in California, so not too much of it there either. And sleep on a bed, have as many toys and treats as he wanted. So I had a great 8 months with him. And I'm so thankful that everybody rallied behind me getting him. And the process was just kind of expedited, because if I waited any longer, I wouldn't have had those 8 months.
That, to me, is amazing, getting through all of what we all know as bureaucratic red tape.
Yeah.
It's an incredible story. That piece of it is pretty amazing.
And they had a beautiful retirement ceremony for him at Camp Pendleton.
Aww.
And my old bosses that were not even at Camp Pendleton anymore, and former Marine colleagues that weren't there anymore, surprised me, showed up. Everyone showed such support. They were so happy that I got him, because being a handler, everybody feels the same way about their own dog. It's just like such a strong bond, and they were just so happy that it all worked out in the end for me, which was really special.
I think one of the things that our listeners will really appreciate is that you had what we call a difficult dog, right?
Yeah.
We don't have maybe quite that level of difficult, but we have difficult dogs here. And we understand that process of trying to make a bond with a dog that nobody else can touch.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that. What went through your head? How did you do that? What suggestions would you offer to people, not clearly to this level, but bonding with a difficult dog?
Well, difficult meaning he had an attitude for sure.
Right.
But working-wise, he was an amazing dog. Right.
But it's that attitude. He had to trust you.
Yes.
He had to trust you.
In the military, from my experience, when we are first assigned a new dog, we spend at least 2 weeks just rapport training. So you don't even start to do work at all. You're the only one feeding them. Mm-hmm. You brush them, you play with them, take them on walks, you do fun things with them, and then you work your way up to just getting to know their mannerisms, what they like, what they don't like, do they like their feet touched, is that a problem, do I have to muzzle them for that? And you just get to kind of learn a little bit more about them. And by playing with them and being the only one that's feeding them, when they see you, they're going to associate you with some positive things. So right. Then when you start to work with the dog, you have a little bit more of an idea about them. And like I said, I was a new Marine when I got handed this dog. He'd already been on one deployment. So I was like the newcomer.
He was already trained. You didn't do any of the actual training work with
him. No. What's interesting is when I went to canine school, they have the canine program at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. And all of the handlers in every branch of the military are trained there to be canine handlers. And all of the dogs that are working dogs at the kennels, they all get trained there as well. So they do all their basic training there, and then they ship the dogs out to bases. So when we get a new dog, it's trained on the basics. It's up to us to just fine-tune it, per se.
Right, and then develop that dog's desire to work for you with you.
So that dog is trained, but becoming a dog team, that's what's important, a team. You work together.
Absolutely, and it's true here at the dog show.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
I have, and you know, when I've been looking around, it's so great for me. I've just been observing all the people and seeing the dogs, looking at their owners for direction, and just... they're so in tune with each other that there's a billion dogs around, and it's amazing to me that these dogs barely even pay attention to them. They're so focused on their owner, and it's just so impressive to see.
Yeah. I think that that is such a compelling part of this sport.
Yes.
Right? And you go watch those agility dogs, you go watch some of those obedience dogs, and they are totally on a wire, you know? And I just love that. But it's the same type of connection that we develop with our companion animals, with our working animals.
Yeah.
And I love that your story is able to highlight that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's time consuming, but it's the best time that I've spent doing something that I love. And you have to love it to do it, I think.
I think that anything that we do with, in my case, dogs. Yeah. How can it be bad? I get to hang out with dogs all day.
They just enrich people's lives wherever you go.
Like, they do.
I walked into the showroom today and immediately just smiling, like just they're everywhere. It's
they're
just
everywhere.
Even just a look, and you make eye contact with a dog and you're like, hi, like silently, because I don't want to distract them from what they're up to, but just seeing them all around, it's just a great feeling.
Awesome. And Rex was a German Shepherd dog, yes?
Rex is a German Shepherd,
so have you gotten to watch the German Shepherd dog judging?
I have not yet, but I did get to meet a beautiful German Shepherd that I was just taking photos with downstairs, Tony.
Excellent.
I actually got to meet, which was really special, a black German Shepherd that was an extra dog in my movie.
Oh my gosh.
That's here today. So
oh my gosh, how cool is that?
Talk about a small world.
Right?
Yeah, so I got to see
him
yesterday.
Very cool. You certainly had your life saved by it a few times.
Yes. Yeah, I have. The pure breeds, I can't wait to see, meet the breeds.
Yes.
I'm so looking forward to that today.
Dozens of those.
I saw them setting up yesterday, and there were some breeds on there that I've never heard of before.
Oh my gosh,
and I'm just so excited to see what they look like.
Yes. I mean, these are breeds that are brand new to me, the foundation stock breeds.
Yeah.
So we went around and we interviewed the people with Barbets and Hamilton Stovers.
Dogs you've never even heard of before.
Like, I've been doing this my entire life.
Yes.
You know, so that was just so cool. You will love that.
Out of the working dog realm, I've seen a lot of different type of dogs just from being in that environment. And I'm just so excited to see more of them. It's a cool thing.
Megan, thank you so much for joining
us. Oh, my pleasure. This
was really
great.
I really appreciate it. A lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great day.
Oh, I will for sure. You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk, brought to you by the Aramedia Group, publisher of ShowSite Magazine, your home for purebred dogs.